recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
And I really do believe that I'm being ripped now. And this was the best. By the way, this is not a joke, folks. And I can show you. I will post the email that he sent me here. This is legitimate, by the way. The website I'm supposed to be promoting is, let's see here, spitformen.com. This product, I'll let y'all guess what this is. One of the lines on the website is, this product is designed for those rare, sexy beasts that care about their lovers, themselves, and their environment. When you use spit, you shag your way to a better future. Yeah. Apparently, my new sponsor, let's see here, Spit, a natural safe tool used by men who love men for thousands of years. Their tagline, I'm not even going to read their tagline. You can go there if you like. I fired John this morning, and I'm just not going to have a sponsor for the show. I don't know what, apparently, what makes him think that this product, and it's numerous products. I'm not going to promote this website, though. And it's legitimately perhaps the worst website I've ever seen. I'm not going to promote it at all. And I know I promoted it a little bit just by talking about it. But it's perhaps the worst thing I've ever seen. So I'm not doing that. So I fired John this morning. So you guys, if anybody out there is good at getting sponsored, just come to me and let me know. Because it's literally a man on man lube, and I'm not talking about that. I wonder why he couldn't get the point that I didn't want those type of sponsors for this show, and why he even think that them and wrestling is not about that. You know what I mean? It's really not. I don't know why he thought that market towards that. I don't know, but anyhow, John's gone now, so we're gonna talk wrestling now. People are asking for updates on that. Maybe you can hit me up at Hype Is Radio on Twitter and also on Facebook. Hype Is Wrestling in videos and Hype Is Here on Facebook and also my personal account. But there's a lot of things we'll talk about here. You know, the tag team wrestling, and before I get Frank Howell, promoter for USWA Wrestling, USWA will return back to Jacksonville, Florida this Saturday night. If you're in the Florida, Georgia area, make sure you come out. I will be there, folks. I am booked for the show. I can't wait to be a part of that huge show, folks. It's going to be a huge, huge event. So the best wrestlers in the state, in the independent wrestling in general, will be there. So you want to make sure you're a part of that huge event. USWA this Saturday, I'm excited to be a part of that huge show. Promoter Frank Howell will be calling it soon. And folks, I am not saying he will, but I am saying he will be giving away tickets. But you will have to answer perhaps a few trivia questions to get those tickets, folks. And since I know a lot of you listen on download, you can message me later on and send me the answers if buddy calls in and answers those questions before you. Maybe I'll hold back a ticket or two to give you all a chance to come out and see USWA this Saturday night. Tag team wrestling. Tag team wrestling is one of those things I wanted to touch on, and I always kind of wanted to do a show about tag team wrestling, because tag team wrestling, to me, is something that I think is overlooked nowadays. I think tag team wrestling is a lot of fun, number one. If done correctly, tag team wrestling is the kind of art that is done, can be a completely different style of match than any other match you'll ever see. But unfortunately, tag team wrestling is ignored nowadays. Tag team wrestling is not the same as it was at one point. Tag team wrestling is not what it once was. You have a lot of great guys out there who have been in tag teams at one point. You know, Shawn Michaels got his start as a tag team wrestler. I mean, there's a lot of guys that started out as tag team wrestlers. Hell, Chris Jericho got to start as a tag team wrestler. And, you know, guys who all started out as tag team wrestlers and now have become singles wrestlers. And whenever they started out as tag team wrestlers, it's because a lot of guys, whenever perhaps they're not ready for a singles push, they're not ready to be a singles wrestler, start out as tag team wrestlers. And they go from there, and they wind up finding their feet. They find their, you know, they find their place in the business, and then they become, I wouldn't say better, well, maybe even better wrestlers than their tag team partners, and they break out, you know, from where they're at. But here's what I'll say about this here. Tag team wrestling should be pushed harder than it is right now. Unfortunately, you don't find a lot of independent promotions that push tag team wrestling either. And the reason for that is a lot of independent promoters do not want to bring in a lot of guys and push a tag team division. I give promoter Frank Howe a lot of credit for pushing a tag team division and bringing in guys who know how to work the tag team ranks. And some of the best, there's been some really good tag team wrestlers over the years. And right now there's a really good tag team match, which we'll discuss here in a little bit coming up Saturday night, between guys that I've worked with a lot over the years. And I think Frank's actually on the line here, so I'm going to go ahead and bring him on so we can actually get him in on this conversation. Chat room chiming in here. Major Poo in the chat room writes, my daughter says it's because mostly of the Shield. You know, the Shield is actually bringing back tag team wrestling a lot of ways, even though there's three of them. And I'll talk about the Shield a little bit here in just a minute. And I'll say this much about the Shield. The Shield will bring credibility back to those tag team titles, believe it or not. A lot of people don't understand why I would say that, but the Shield will bring back credibility to those tag team titles. Because, hey, let me ask you this. It started with Team Hell No, but look at it this way. Single individuals who are over with the crowd, when you put them in a tag team and then you put the belts on them, that's what makes you want to watch a tag team. And it's you don't see tag teams introduced anymore as a tag team and then pushed as a tag team. And, you know, you usually see two guys who are very popular and then put together as a tag team. And that's usually how they're, you know, brought up at that point. But let me go ahead and bring on my double main man, promoter Frank Howe, the owner of United States Wrestling. Frank, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. How you doing today, Al?
Doing good, sir. Welcome to Hype is Wrestling, sir. And number one, let me say thank you for having me to be a part of your great product. And obviously, we got a show coming up this Saturday night, Jacksonville, Florida, the Snyder National Guard Armory. It's going to be a big show, sir.
Yeah, it is. It is. We're really excited. And you know, first of all, I want to thank all the fans. You know, we've been working there about 2 years now, and the fans just really showed us a lot of support. And as you know, you can't do anything without them. And we just really want to give a shout out to them. They show up every time. They're loud, and they get the wrestlers all pumped up. And we're just honored to be able to run a show at the Armory and have the fan base that we do.
Absolutely, and I'll say this much. I've been a part of USWA now for about a year now, and what I see with USWA that's different than any other wrestling organization I've been a part of is the fact that everybody that's a part of management in USWA actually does care about the crowd. And one thing, and I'm not trying to put Frank on the spot, but one thing I'll say, as you guys know who've been listening to this show, I was actually helping a little girl out not too long ago who was trying to get her vision back. And I went to Frank and I told him the situation. I said, you know, I wanted to do what I could to help her. And Frank and everybody at USWA stepped up and helped her out, gave her a table, allowed her to raise the money she needed, and did anything they could to help her. She raised quite a bit of money that night, and it was because of the people at USWA. The reason why I bring this up is because USWA not only does a great wrestling show, but they do a family show. So when you come out to USWA, it's worth the drive, it's worth the time, because you're not only getting your money's worth wrestling-wise, but you're getting good family entertainment. And that's one of the main reasons why I enjoy working for USWA, because in the end, it's giving back to the community.
Yeah, Adam, we totally believe that at USWA in running a family show, and I was brought up that the Lord blesses you when you bless others, and that's what I live by. That's what we'll always you know, run a good clean show, because we're trying to reach out to the kids. I mean, you know, when the wrestler comes out of that curtain and there's a bunch of kids there, and they're all screaming, and you know, these guys are their heroes, and you know, whatever they do, the kids are going to do, you know, basically. So, you know, we want to keep it clean. We want the kids to, you know, see, hey, man, my hero, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to wrestle at a show and he's all, you know, saying bad language and all, because regardless of what people think, kids are going to do what they see their heroes do.
Absolutely. Tag team wrestling, sir. I'm going to work you into a conversation here. Obviously, tag team wrestling has always been a big part of my experience in professional wrestling, and I think tag team wrestling still has a major part of this business. Who was your favorite tag team growing up watching wrestling?
Well, you know, there's a host of them. Me, personally, I love tag team wrestling, and I love the three-ways. I love the fatal four-ways, and that's why you'll always see, you know, people tell me all the time, man, Frank, you can't have more than one tag team per show. I say, who says, you know? We always have at least two tag teams per show because I love it. You know, it's more exciting to me, but I don't want to avoid the question. I will answer. My favorite all-time probably, I'd have to say, is the Road Warriors. And old school, I really like Jerry and Jack Briscoe and the Funk Brothers, Terry and Dory, but if I had to be put on the spot, my all-time favorite, I'm going to say the Road Warriors.
Road Warriors were right up there with me. They had that impact. You never really saw a tag team arrive, make an impact, and leave like they did. I mean, that whenever Iron Man hit, they hit the ring, they destroyed whatever poor team was waiting on them, and then they were the most impactful team you ever seen, and you never had to doubt who was on their way to the ring whenever they came out. Now, for me, I'd have to say the Midnight Express, just simply because they had the charisma. There was a good mixture between them, and obviously you had Jim Cornette, who was probably one of the most amazing managers out there, simply because of his – he was right up there with Bobby Heenan for me. I could see why, though, you could say Road Warriors. Road Warriors were probably unmatched as far as their power. They were a power-based tag team, and I don't think there was any better as far as a power-based tag team out there.
No, I have to agree with you on that. And I tell you, there was a tag team. They didn't stay together that long, and this is just my opinion, my personal opinion only. And they were with TNA for a while, but that really excited me to watch. And I was like, wow, these guys are really got it together. And that was the Motor City Machine Guns. I actually really enjoyed their speed and the way they worked together. And I think one of them got hurt, and then they kind of split up after that. But I tell you, that was one tag team that me personally enjoyed watching.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that the thing about tag teams is that, you know, you could have guys that are the most amazing singles wrestlers out there, because the Motor City Machine Guns was Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, and they were really great independent wrestlers by themselves, but when you put them together, they were even that much better. They legitimately had charisma together as well, and they did a lot of work together. They actually worked together in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I believe they did a little work together as a tag team in Ring of Honor as well. They were legitimately great wrestlers together, and you're right. But sometimes you put guys together and they're just not good as a tag team. They could be great singles wrestlers, but they're not good tag team wrestlers. So it does take an ability to work together. I'm looking at the chat room here. Major Poo in the chat room writes, Undertaker and Kane and the Hart Foundation. Undertaker and Kane, would you put them up there? I mean, obviously they had that quote-unquote brother connection, but I think nowadays they could really capitalize on putting those two back together every now and then. They could actually, you know, have them come back together perhaps every now and then. So I think they kind of tried to do that whenever they could have put them back together to fight the Shield at one point, but it was kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know if I would put them up there in, like, the top 10 or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
No.
I mean, you still have the Dudley Boys and like, the Freebirds,
yeah.
You know, the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah.
I don't know how long Kane and Undertaker actually worked together. Sometimes you know, some of the ones we're talking about were together for a long time.
Yeah. I can't put them in my top 10 because when I look at tag teams, I look at guys who are tag, and I named this your tag team specialist because you have guys like the teams you're naming, you know, Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express. I mean, those guys came in as tag team specialists. Those guys came in as tag teams. And the tag team that I think I overlooked a lot, even in their time whenever they were with the WWE, was Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. I thought they worked well together as the Brain Busters. And obviously, Arn Anderson could work with anybody against anybody. And guys like that there, man. And think about how many, and this is another thing, I'm jumping kind of back and forth here, but Arn Anderson had a lot of great tag teams he worked with. He worked with a lot of guys. So, it just, you know, Arn Anderson's tag teams were really good. So,
I actually have them on my list, too. I have to agree with you. I mean, you know, and then you throw in, like, the Four Horsemen where they, you know, united, like, mm-hmm. together like that. But, yeah, those two guys were phenomenal, too. And now, you know, I don't know if you give us a chance to throw the independent circuit out there, but, you know, we travel, me and Ellen mm-hmm. travel all around Florida and go to all these different
mm-hmm.
shows. I think there's some pretty good tag teams on the independent circuit as well.
And I'm glad you brought that up because it is listed in the description of the show, and I wanted to touch on that because one of the things I mentioned in the description of the show is I wanted to compare how the old school tag teams and some of the best tag teams of yesteryear compared to the tag teams of today and how some of the guys today actually nod back to teams of yesteryear. And the tag team that reaches out to me immediately is obviously the current USWA tag team champions and a guy that obviously, you know, I'm friends with, and I really, two guys actually I'm friends with and really appreciate their style of work, is Francisco Chiazzo and Simon Says. And I can't, you know, I can't give you enough credit for bringing those guys in and giving them a chance at the belts, and they took advantage of it. The Circle of Disrespect, you talk about a tag team that really knows their way around the ring and actually brings it back to an old school method. I love their work, and I love any chance I can get anywhere near a ring with them.
Yeah, I think they're really good together too. And you know, when you're at a show, and the fans are actually, now granted they have more fans go against them than with them, but they have a mm-hmm. small percentage. I mean, you look around the audience and you see fans with Simon Says shirts on, COD shirts on. I mean that. That says a lot of credibility when you're just totally, you know, mean and nasty heels, but the fans are supporting you. So, mm-hmm. you know, and I like to brag just a little bit. The team that they're working Saturday night, I actually mm-hmm. formed personally. Rocky Santiago and Tim Bisco, I mm-hmm. Approached both of them about becoming a tag team, and they weren't real down with the idea. They're like, man, you know, I don't know. We work individually. And I said, man, mm-hmm. listen, Tim, you're a grappler and Rocky's a high flyer. I think you guys would make a great tag team. Would you just at least try it? And they agreed to try it. They came together and me personally, and I've had a couple fans and several people like, man, I really like that tag team. And they told me that they're glad that I suggested it, that it worked out for them. And they're really having a good time with it.
Absolutely. So now I know who I have to blame. It's you for all the problems they gave me and my guys. Because by God, man, they are a force. And Doc, look at you. So the next time I'm out there and I have to take some of their grief and garbage, I'll come at you. Okay, I see how it is. All right, so you're the one to blame. No, absolutely. Tim Zabisco is, and I hate to use the word underrated, but he deserves more eyes on him at this point. And the same with Rocky Santiago. Those guys are quickly becoming a well-meshed tag team on the independents. And real quick, I just noticed that a gentleman by the name of JT Taylor is actually in the chat room right now. And he's a guy I've worked with off and on over the years. I'm not sure how familiar you are with his work, but he's a guy that works a lot in Georgia. That you talk about guys that don't get the credit they deserve in this business. And I see it a lot, man. You know, I've been in the business now for 14 years, going on 15 years. And guys that bust their butts in this business and, quite honestly, don't necessarily get the look that they deserve. And you know what? Tag team wrestling sometimes is a way to get, you know, some guys get noticed that way. And JT Taylor has been a part of some tag teams. He's worked with other tag team specialists and things like that. And he's a guy that I think is on the brink of making it, you know, and making a statement for himself. And you talk about guys that have actually worked in tag teams that sometimes will break out of tag teams and make it and will actually, you know, find their way into singles careers because of a tag team. Like, you know, Shawn Michaels did it. I mean, even, you know, Sting wound up, and, you know, Sting, Ultimate Warrior, guys like that there. Out of, you don't see a lot of tag teams on the independents form as solely tag teams anymore. You see a lot of guys kind of get thrown into tag teams. What do you think, do you think that tag team wrestling is kind of a lost art nowadays? Do you think that tag teams don't necessarily... Do you think they're kind of going away, the tag team scene?
No, actually, I think they are starting to come more back together. I think it kind of faded a little bit, but yeah, I think it's coming back strong. One team that I know that actually came in as a tag team, and I've only seen them a couple of times in singles action. I mean, they work tag teams all over the state of Florida, and they're one of the best tag teams on the independent circuit, no doubt, is Los Bandejos. They're phenomenal. And another one that I'd like to mention, but they kind of work in a lot of single right now, but when they were together, they were almost unbeatable, and that was the Dark City Fight Club. Davis and Corey Davis, they are phenomenal.
Absolutely.
You know, they were on Ring of Honor for a while, and I think the guy you're talking about, you just mentioned, I could be wrong, but I think that he did a tag team match at the Sharks game Saturday night, if that's the same guy.
Yeah. I didn't see what exactly happened, and JT, let me know exactly. I know he worked a few spots at the Sharks game with the Dynasty, which is another group Buck Buchanan. Jared Michaels and that group out there. But absolutely. And you know what? That's a huge step. Congratulations to those guys. He worked Jared Michaels and Scotty Biggs, which that's a huge step for them. Congratulations to everybody involved in that. And you know what? I'm happy for everybody involved there. JT Taylor is one of those guys that I've had the privilege of working around for a long time, whether it be CCW, whether it be the times I was up in Tifton. I'll tell a story. He actually worked, and he's talking to me through the chat room here, folks. And if you're listening on download, you'll just have to trust me or what I'm telling you. He was actually able to work with the Jacksonville Sharks owner there. So he was tag-teaming with the Jacksonville Sharks owner. That's a big step, man, you know. And whenever you're actually able to do something like that, it shows that the franchise is actually trusting in you to go out there and do this and actually make money for that particular franchise. So congratulations to JT and everybody involved in that. Like I said, I saw the videos posted. I haven't had a chance to see them yet, but I'll take the videos and post them to not only the Hype is Wrestling Facebook page, but the Hype is Here Radio Facebook page. But what I was going to say, though, is that I'll tell a quick story. It's like, I've worked around JT Taylor quite a few times, and the guy is, I've told a lot of promoters I've worked around, the guy deserved a chance everywhere I've seen him. And a lot of guys don't get that opportunity they deserve anymore. And for whatever reason, you know, it may not be their fault, it just may not be the time. And sometimes guys get thrown in tag teams, and guys that take advantage of tag team wrestling and can get something going, and they're putting angles where they make tag teams work. Tag team wrestling can be a lot of fun. And as like JT said, he worked with the Georgia Express with Scotty Biggs. Scotty Biggs is another guy that, quite honestly, lost a lot of weight, got in some great shape, and looks really good in the ring. Who would you say, Frank, would probably, I guess, I'll put this, give me a top five list of the top five tag teams of all time.
Are we talking about back to
let's go mainstream. Let's go mainstream tag teams. I'm doing this for a reason, because I want you to take, what I'm going to do is have you name top five tag teams of all time. I'm going to write them down. And I want you to compare each one of those tag teams that you named to a tag team that's out there right now, because I want to compare tag teams and where they stand.
Okay, top five of all time. All right, we're going to go with just mine.
Sure.
We're going to go with the Road Warriors.
Okay, Road Warriors.
And then I'm going to go with Jack and Jerry Briscoe.
Nice.
And I'm going to agree with you a little bit and go with the Midnight Express.
And that hurts you to have to agree with me there, but okay.
Well, you know, with Jim Cornette in the corner, definitely made them a force to be reckoned with there. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt. And now this is just me, so I hope I don't step on too many toes, but I'm going to throw the Dudley Boys in there.
I like that, okay. Yeah.
And then I'm going to take my fifth one as the Rockers. I think, I mean, I was always a big Shawn Michaels fan and Marty Jannetty. And I met Marty Jannetty not long ago, and he thinks he's still a teenager. He's pretty cool. But anyway, that's gonna be my personal top five.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I would agree with that. And you know what? Here's the thing. I would apologize at all for the Dudley Boys, because here's the thing about the Dudley Boys. The Dudley Boys have the ability to not only work great matches, but they also had the ability to incite a crowd. They may have been a little over the top at times, and they didn't really have a lot of reins on them. They could pretty much say whatever they wanted to at times, but they could cut a promo. And if you listen to Bubba Ray Dudley cut a promo nowadays, he could do it. So I would definitely agree with that. And I don't see any reason, just because he came a little after the old school era, and I see a lot of guys are hesitant to name guys that come after, especially with tag teams, after the old school era supposedly ended, or even after the Attitude Era ended, in their top five. I agree with your list definitely up to a point. Let me ask you this. If you had to compare one independent tag team to the Road Warriors, who would it be?
Big, strong. I'm going to have to go with the Dark City Fight Club.
Nice. I think it's a hell of a comparison. The Briscoes, if you had to look at one independent tag team, if you could find one. If you can't find one, let me know. If you could find one, who would it be?
Oh, man, there was a lot. I'm trying to figure one that might be close, because they were, you know, they had a lot of, Jack had a lot of technical wrestling. See, I mean, trying to think of one on the independent circuit that I can compare them with.
That's a tough one, you know. There's a lot of technical tag teams.
Yeah, I mean, because they really, they were old school, but they could bring in, and I'm really trying to think of someone on the independent circuit that I could compare them with, and it's just not coming to my head right now.
Let's skip over that one then. Let's go to Midnight Express.
Midnight Express, the way they had the speed and the agility and had Jim Cornette in their corner, although they don't have a manager on the independent circuit, I'm going to say Lost Vendejo.
Nice. Okay, I can definitely see that. Let's go to Dudley Boys.
The Dudley Boys. It's going to be crazy, but my comparison to them is going to be Frankie and Simon, the COD.
You know what? I can absolutely see that. And I wanted to talk about them again. their ability to get in the ring, cut a promo, their ability to go out there. They work in old school style in a lot of different ways, but they can also go new school. I could see that, absolutely. I don't see anything wrong with that comparison. The Rockers.
Well, let's try to think of one. The Rockers were really flashy, really good. Somebody that might really fit that.
I can see a lot of things. I see a lot of things that I can see a lot of things that Rocky and Tim do. You know,
that's
I can see
to say. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, at least we're on the same page on that one. I can see a lot of things they do be, you know, a lot of things like the Rockers do. So, the Briscoes, that's a hard one there. Briscoes were a different breed, man.
I think it's somebody on the independent circuit that really might could be old school. And I think that they were really good because, well, in my opinion, Jack was so much better than Jerry. But they brought a thing because they were brothers in real life where they, you know, they worked so well together.
Right.
You know, and, you know, a lot of, like you were saying earlier, a lot of tag teams are kind of like the ones that are really together are kind of like two and one. I mean, they're on the same page all the time, you know.
Absolutely.
Kind of like a marriage, man. You know, it's just like there are two of them, but they're totally just one person. They're together, you know.
Right. Well, I think you did a great job with that. I think it's some great comparisons. I think there's a lot of teams out there that, you know, every team, I think, you have to look at a team from the past and say, hey, this team here did something that I like. And you can't be that team in every aspect, but you have to take little things here or there. And I think that's, you know, what makes teams successful. Let's give some tickets away. How about that? We have a lot of people that, you know, listen on download, a lot of people that listen live. So you want to give some tickets away for this Saturday night, July 6th, in Jacksonville, Florida, the Snyder National Guard Armory for USWA?
Yeah, me and you had talked, mm-hmm. I think that what we're going to do is we're going to give a couple tickets away
mm-hmm.
to the first person who could identify my favorite wrestler of all time. Now, that's tough because there's so many of them. But if you can call in and tell Adam who my favorite wrestler of all time is, you just won yourself two free tickets. They'll be at the door with your name on them. So anybody who can identify that has just won two free tickets to the show.
And what I'm doing, folks, is posting the question on my Facebook page. And if you don't call in now, because a lot of people do list on download, and you message me later on, you will receive two tickets with your name on it to this Saturday night. And, folks, I can tell you right now, folks, it is well worth your time to come out and see USWA. Folks, if I wasn't at the show, if I wasn't a part of the show, I'd absolutely be there. And then let's go ahead and run out the card real quick here so we can make sure we tell everybody what exactly is going on while we wait for people to call in. You want to run down the card for everybody?
Sure. We're going to have eight matches that night. It is Saturday night. Show starts at 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6:15. Now, from 6:15 to 6:45, we are going to have live entertainment. Brandon Alexander is going to be performing live. And the card is the first match. Since it's July the 4th weekend, we're actually mm-hmm. going to start the show off with a fatal four-way. We're going to start the show off with a bang because it's a bang weekend. You know, it's about fireworks, mm-hmm. so we're going to start the show off with Mike Cruz, Jason Falcone, Verde, and Lance Alante. Now, Lance was injured, so
mm-hmm.
we're not absolutely 100% sure that's going to be a day of the show decision, but we do
mm-hmm.
have someone on standby in case Lance can't go.
All right.
The second match is going to be Hayden Price against Jonathan Wells. That's two CCW superstars that's going at it.
The third match will be a Divas match. It'll be Justine Silver taking on Santana. And then we got a tag match. Jake Slater and Dagan Briggs are going to be taking on CJ O'Doyle and T-Bone Funk.
Nice.
Johnny, forget about it. Carino is going to be taking on Victor Creed. Now, Victor Creed is SCW champion down in Sanford, Florida. Big guy, hometown guy, and we're glad to have him back.
Absolutely.
And for the junior heavyweight championship, Blaine Raven is going to be taking on Sir Ian Shire.
And it's a great match.
It is. And then this one here I'm real excited about is our tag team champion, COD, Simon and Frankie, are going to be taking on Tim Zbyszko and Rocky Santiago.
That's going to be a great match as well.
And then the main event is going to be Kyle Blizzard, Johnny Armani, and Gorgeous Gary taking on Mikey, John Davis, and for one time only, Frank the Tank. So this is the one time and only time that I'm actually going to be getting in the ring. So I can't be feuding with you or nobody else because this is a one-time deal.
Yeah, I wanted to discuss this with you because if I didn't know, I heard you were getting in the ring. I wanted to know like how Gorgeous Gary was lucky enough to be able to get his hands on you. You're actually getting in the ring at this point, and you know what? I wish you the best, sir, because I'm not going to say anything about this because you know what? Here you are getting in the ring one time only. People are going to be able to come out and see Frank the Tank get in the ring. And I'll say this, I'll step out, and I'll wish you the best. But just know that if you're going to get in the ring, just be careful, because I know how that Gorgeous Gary is. He is sneaky. So, sir, he will absolutely do whatever it takes to, let's just say, hoodwink you. So just be careful in there, sir. I'm just saying that. And you never know.
No, and I tell you, I'm not a wrestler, and I'm not someone that needs to be in the ring, but this has been going on for about 2 years, and we've been feuding for a long time, and we just decided to sell it in the ring, and like I said, I really don't have any business in there, but, you know, I'm just tired of all his shenanigans and all his backstabbing and all that, and, he challenged me, and I'm not going to back down from, Gorgeous Gary.
and
I have John Davis in my corner, so, I do have a big protector there.
Well, me and you see on the opposite ends of the spectrum usually in the wrestling world, and I'll say this much, though. You, A, pick the right people on your side, obviously, with, Mikey and John Davis, but, B, hey, you stepped up and you got sick and tired of having to put up with his shenanigans, so good for you, man. Good for you stepping up and getting in the ring and lacing them up, and if it's one time only, then I hope that you finally put it, because I'm not going to lie to you, I don't particularly care for his attitude either. I hope you shut him up, too, so good luck with that, sir.
We appreciate it, and I really appreciate you having me on today, and if you don't mind, I would love to pop my sponsors.
Please do. Go ahead.
We are sponsored by Fair Financial Group, Get Some McDonald McClenny, and Golden Panther Handyman, and also tickets for the show are still on sale at the Chico Normandy, Countdown Award Shop, Get Some McDonald McClenny, and one more shout-out to Pro Wrestling Extra, Joe Capone, Howley, and Terry Sword. They do so much for our company, and we appreciate them so much. They, Joe and Terry come together and do our flyer, and I know I've seen some great flyers, but I tell you, I put our flyer up there against anyone as far as just
it's
a really a good look, just a nice-looking flyer, something that makes you proud to hand out, and I just really, really want those guys to know that we really appreciate them.
I will agree with that 110%, sir, and Pro Wrestling Extra has sponsored the Hype as a promotional sponsor and done a lot of great work for us. And I look forward to being a part of this huge card Saturday night, sir. And we have one guest coming in on Twitter, Kevin Nash, as your favorite wrestler. Would that be correct?
No, sir. That's not correct.
Okay.
And I think you do know the answer, right?
Yes, I do. So,
you'll know when the winner when the ring crosses.
I will absolutely know. So yeah. So I will absolutely know, and we will continue taking guesses off air. And even as people listen on the download, folks, keep guessing. You never know when you may win. But, Frank, we're going to continue on. I have JT Taylor on hold. We're going to let you go, sir. Again, Frank, thank you for calling in, sir. Again, Saturday night, USWA. It's going to be a great show, and I can't wait to be a part of that huge card, sir. You take care of yourself, and we'll see everybody Saturday night.
All right, Adam, I appreciate it. Appreciate you having me. And just give me the winner's name, and we'll have a few tickets for him at the door.
Absolutely, sir. Take care.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too now. Moving from one step to another, a guy that I admire in this business, a good friend from a long time back, Mr. JT Taylor. JT, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. You know, just talking a little tag team wrestling and putting together a show of sorts. What's going on with you?
Not a whole lot, man. Just got back in town here at the house from Jacksonville this weekend. You know, you talked about it a while ago. We done the Sharks game down there. I was actually impressed with some arena football, man. It was actually pretty cool down there.
Yeah, man. We went I did the arena football gimmick back whenever they first started. Went to one of their first shows. It was actually enjoyable, man. Talk to me, man. How did the arena football show come about? How did that go down?
I was sitting at the house Wednesday night and got the phone call from Jared, and in 2 days had to scrounge up everything we needed to shoot down there. Jeff Boshi, the owner of the Sharks, gave us a call, wanted us to come down there and do a post-game thing. And so we made some phone calls, got some quick guys up and shot down there and done it. It was really a spur-of-the-moment thing. It wasn't nothing that was really planned. So we all shot down there, enjoyed the beach for the weekend, went to the game, hung out, you know, done that. Like I said, it wasn't nothing that was actually planned. We didn't have time to promote it, really. Didn't have time to get the word out there. But we just pulled it all together and actually pulled it off. Had a really good time doing it. It actually wasn't as stressful as you would have thought it would have been.
Sure. Yeah, anytime you do something like that, man, immediately you're just like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? But, hey, man, if you're able to pull it off, that's all that matters, because in the end, you know, get your name out there, get your organization out there, and, you know, it's, everything I'm hearing is positive, and that's all that matters. So congratulations, guy.
Absolutely. I mean, their hospitality there was great. I mean, once we got there, they treated us, you know, like we were one of the players. You know, I mean, it was a really fun time. We really enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Awesome, man. So sticking to topic, man, I want to ask you a question here. Tag teams. Tag team wrestling to me is something that, to me, I don't know. You know, you see what you see on TV, and you don't see a lot of really established tag team wrestling, but tag team wrestling really was something that the business was built on back in the 70s, 80s, and even in the early 90s. Who was your favorite tag team growing up?
Two, really. I mean, I like the Rockers, and I like the Hart Foundation. You know, I thought the Rockers were real innovative, and I thought the Hart Foundation was, you know, old school, kind of like the Brain Busters in a way, but the Brain Busters had a little bit more power to them, you know, because Hart Foundation power guy was really the Anvil, you know, Jim Neidhart. I like Brett's technical ability, but Anvil supplied the power. But I like them too. I mean, them two were close for me, the Rockers and the Hart Foundation.
Absolutely. Who do you think the best singles competitor to ever come out of a tag team is? I know the obvious answer, but I'd say, you know, was there anybody else besides Shawn Michaels, you think, that came out of a tag team that became, you know, the best?
I'd say Brett. You know, I think Brett and Shawn ran neck and neck. I mean, Brett was good, and Brett, you know, took care of business in the ring just like Shawn did. I think Shawn was more agile than Brett, which kind of put him over the top, you know, and put him as the best. But under him, I would honestly have to say Brett, you know, done a really good job.
Yeah, I look at Brett, and I do wonder, though, because Brett did get thrown into that tag team ring still, but Brett was more of a singles competitor and was busting his ass as a singles wrestler in Calgary, you know, before he got thrown to the WWE as the Hart Foundation. And really, if you think about it, he was Hart Foundation for 4 or 5 years in the WWE, and that's why everybody knew him as. But, man, if you look back at some of the matches he was having as a singles competitor in Stampede and things like that before he ever became part of the Hart Foundation. You know,
right.
Sean, though, on the other hand, Sean immediately, I mean, Sean, all Sean knew was tag team wrestling. He never
right.
even had a singles, you know. So Sean is the, and if you look back at Sean's matches, like right after he got out of, you know, the tag team ranks, Sean looked like somebody who had just been thrown, like, he'd like a rape victim who'd just been thrown out of the car. Like, he had no idea what
to
do.
To him. Right.
Yes.
So, well, I see somebody on the chat rooms, you know, saying, what about Triple H and DX? I think we got to remember when it comes to them that DX was more established as Sean and Hunter working singles matches, you know, before back in 06 when they got back together and done the tag team thing, because remember, they had never won the tag titles before then. But, I mean, Hunter was established as a singles guy. Sean was established as a singles guy, and DX pretty much molded around that. You know, I mean, it was just more or less for the run-ins and for the attitude than it was anything, you know, of a tag team.
Yeah, that's a hard one because, yeah, you're right, because DX was more of a faction. And with factions are put together mainly to, I don't know, I see a lot of factions put together mainly to push angles. And they're not necessarily to push tag team titles or to push tag teams in general.
Right.
The Horsemen were not put together to push tag teams. What I miss is tag teams that would be, you would see tag teams come out as tag teams and were promoted as tag teams and such. Like, for example, tag teams that debuted as tag teams, the Powers of Pain, Demolition, guys like that there that came out as tag teams and were never anything more or less. You never, like, never really saw guys get thrown together in the 80s and become, like, formidable tag teams. Like, you would sometimes get guys that would be thrown together and maybe work shows as tag teams. Like, you know, I don't know, like Paul Roma and, you know, insert other jobber's name. But they would never get a push like that. They would just be thrown together to job somebody. But but you would see guys come in as tag teams and they would get pushes like that. Nowadays, if you're going to get a push as a tag team, you have to be an established singles character. And I think that's where the tag team's seeing that now. I don't think you'll ever see a change.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, tag team wrestling is a tag team. It's not two, you know, singles guys that are thrown together and going out there and holding the titles. To me, that takes away the credibility of the tag team title because you're not giving it to an actual tag team.
Absolutely.
I like what they did with Brian and Kane, though. I thought they'd done that okay. They actually stuck them together longer than what they normally would have. I thought it worked out pretty good with some of the angles they've done. But ultimately, I think the tag team title should go to an actual tag team and establish that title back and make it mean something.
Do you think the Shield will bring any credibility back to the tag team titles?
It's possible. I mean, but at the same time, inside that faction, you got Ambrose, who's holding a U.S. title. So, you know,
right.
You got these two guys, you know, Rollins and Reigns, who really are a step above Ambrose and holding the tag titles, and Ambrose is kind of down with them. But I think they could. It's just a matter of time on how long they hold on to them and, you know, the angles that they run with them. I mean, you know how it goes. It's all about the story you tell, you know,
absolutely.
And how they're able to tell the story with the guys that they're, you know, in that story with.
All right. And, folks, and let me remind you, and this is just a little thing, if you notice, little things, story, let's talk about, and JC brought up storytelling within angles, storytelling within characters. The Shield is a group of guys that come out of the stands and attack whenever. Notice whenever they have a match, notice that they do not give their tag team titles to the timekeeper. They keep them in the corner with them while they wrestle. I noticed that, and I love that about that, because if they're this outside group who comes out of the stands and does whatever they want to, why would they give their titles? They don't trust anybody to give those titles away to anybody to hold them. They held their titles with them there, and I love little things like that there. It's little things they do to tell a story throughout the match in the inside of the ring and the outside of the ring, and I think that's what's got them over to this point. And if you notice, the WWE has now headed down roads where they're actually telling stories over time now. They're like the, you know, Punk holding the belt for almost 400 days. The Shield story has been told what they've actually held them together and spread their story out for almost a year now. So remember, the Shield didn't have their first actual match until TLC in December, and that was about 4 or 5 months after they debuted. So things like that there, and then they didn't lose their actual first match until, well, on SmackDown a few weeks ago. So, and it was to put Daniel Bryan over, who's going to be going after the title soon. So I think Triple H is actually, I personally, I think it's his persuasion that's doing that. And I can only hope that it's a sign that things are going more old school. I don't know that for sure, but perhaps that's where things are headed with the product. Tell me this. What do you think it would take for the product itself to improve from where it's at right now?
And I'll go back to what you were just saying about the Shield losing their first match on SmackDown. I think it's got to get back to where it means something, because the Shield's been built up as this, you know, strong group that's come in and just, I mean, they beat up on Ryback, they beat up on Cena, they beat up on The Rock, and they've been beating up all these high-profile guys, but then they lose on SmackDown. You know, that match should have been built up, which has been rocking on for months, because you've seen it every Monday night and every Friday night. And you knew eventually, you know, the Shield was going to lose, but they done it on SmackDown. That could have been the pay-per-view loss, and it would actually have meant something, you know, when the Shield actually lost. Because, you know, you got a lot of people who watch Raw that may not watch SmackDown, you know, and vice versa. You know, so your national audience was probably smaller when the Shield actually took their first loss. I just think it needs to get back to where it means something. The belts mean something. The characters mean something. And once you get that back into it, you're going to get more of a following. I mean, and don't get me wrong, WWE and Vince have all that they need, you know, but to pull it back into where it was back in the 80s and the 90s, you have to have things that mean something. You know, it has to have credibility to them.
Oh, absolutely. And I'll agree 110% with you. Everything you say, I agree. Now, to play devil's advocate, they're probably saying, well, we'll have something meaningful happen on SmackDown so people will tune into SmackDown next time. To have, you know, to think, well, anything can happen on SmackDown, so we'll have to happen on SmackDown. But I absolutely agree with you. I would have built it up and have something like that. Like that match should have absolutely happened on pay-per-view. However, when I go back, and I don't know if anybody out there has watched the War Games DVD, which, if you haven't, by the way, guys, watch it. It's a perfect example of how matches used to mean something, how there was a build towards something, and how the show that I did about gimmick matches, how gimmick matches should mean something, how the build-up towards a gimmick match meant something at one point. Nowadays, it really doesn't. I mean, hell, Cena and Ryback had a three stages of hell match, and nobody gave a shit. It really didn't mean anything in the end. You know why? Because nobody really believed Cena was going to lose, and even if he did lose, who cares? Because you know why? Sure. It doesn't matter who holds the belt. The belt means nothing because Cena's still going to be on top. Nobody, I mean, the pecking order in the company doesn't change based upon where the belt goes anymore. It used to. And remember when Macho Man Randy Savage took the belt from Hogan? And that wasn't even – he didn't even take the belt from Hogan. He won it in a tournament because Hogan didn't pass the torch. But WrestleMania 4. But they tried to, you know, they did the whole Andre giving up the belt gimmick and blah, blah, blah. Hogan didn't ever pass the torch until, you know, Ultimate Warrior, and we saw how that worked out. But the point of that is that the belt used to pass the torch to other people. It used to, where the belt went the push, and vice versa. Nowadays, the belt means nothing because it doesn't matter who has the belt. The push goes with one person, and right now it's with Cena. Right now, the WWE has their money on one person. And quite honestly, it doesn't matter what you do within the organization. Everybody knows where things are headed. So nothing's going to change anytime soon. you have nobody that believes in what you're doing. So, I don't know, man. I know we're a little off topic, but I'll say this much. I see a lot of independent organizations do this too, where you have one guy that anytime he decides, it's kind of like, if you have a family of four, let's say, two kids, a mother, and a father, and the mother and the two kids are having fun, they're doing whatever they're doing while father's in there asleep, and everything's different, and then everybody's doing everything they want to, but then all of a sudden father starts stirring, he starts getting up, and when father starts getting up, everything goes back to the same miserable bullshit it was, and everything changes. That's kind of like the WWE is right now. Whenever they feel like that something's not right, they go back to the Cena train, you know. It doesn't matter what they did with CM Punk whenever CM Punk was pushed for 400 days. It's basically pointless because right now Cena has the belt and nothing, you know. It just means nothing. What do you think?
I thought Punk done a good job with it.
He did.
I thought Punk done good. I think Punk's only problem is his size, you know. And as far as John Cena goes, when it comes to me and you and guys who've watched it, you know, for years, I think our main thing, and I know especially for me, so I'll speak for myself on this, Hulk Hogan happened years ago. I don't want to see it again.
Absolutely. And you know, here's the problem. If Cena makes it to WrestleMania next year, I think, he will have eclipsed Hogan's first run on top. Now, to me, that's a problem because remember how sick and tired people were of Hogan when Hogan finally left the WWF back in the day? When Hogan had finally, I think it's when Hogan jobbed to Yokozuna left, even when he went to WCW, they had to turn him because they were so sick and tired of him. That's when Hollywood Hogan came around and, I mean, I don't know if they're heading towards Cena finally turning. I don't know. It's a different day. However, the wrestling business is a revolving door. Independent wrestling is a revolving door. I would hope. Here's my problem. I don't know if the wrestling business is just about making money anymore. I think it's more about publicity. Because think about how much money they gave up to stay in the positive light. I mean, you could have turned Cena heel a long time ago and could have turned him into the ultimate bad guy and could have made just as much money. But now you're giving up make-a-wish options. You're giving up, you don't have that ultimate face to take his place.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder if that's the reason why they never turned him heel.
And it probably is.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I think that's, you know, perhaps the reason why they never turned him heel. Maybe, I mean, but they could have made just as much money with him as a heel. I mean, they could have made probably more money with him as a heel because, I would watch him as a heel before I'd watch him as a face. And I think a lot of people feel that way. So.
Well, I think when he first came in and he was doing that, the rapper gimmick, I think the fans kind of took to that more than what he was doing right now because they gave him free reign pretty much on the mic, you know, and let him do his thing out there. So, I mean, people took to that, you know, because, I mean, that's why people take to The Rock. That's why people took to Austin. Like, you know, you get on the mic and you say certain things and it catches the attention of people. And that's what he had at first. Now he goes out there and wears a smile on his face every day and everybody might have had a bad day at work and they don't like it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And people get sick and tired of seeing the same thing over and over. And when you see the same things over and over and nothing ever changes, pretty soon it's like that one person you go to work to every day and they smile and say the same things every day and you just finally say, shut up. You know, you just finally have enough of it. So I don't know where the WWE's headed. I know I look at a lot of independent promoters and finally just say, hey, can you just please do something different? And some guys are just stuck in their ways. Some guys don't want to change things because they feel like it's just, you know, they're stuck just in one way and they never want to change things. So,
right.
Before we wrap up the show, because I do have to go ahead and wrap up things due to sponsor constraints, let me ask you this. Top five tag teams of all time. Go.
I'm going to go with the Rockers because they're innovative. I'll go with Heart Foundation after that. I like Legion of Doom. They didn't move much, but they were big. They were powerful. I like them. I like the Brain Busters, you know, Arn Anderson.
Absolutely.
Like Demolition. I thought Demolition had a pretty good gimmick on them. Number five, really not one sticking out to me. I mean, those are the four that really come to mind, you know, when I think about tag teams, you know, because when I come through, it was mainly in the 80s, watching it, you know, and tag team was big then. But if I had to pick one and I was going out of the 90s, I did like the New Age Outlaws. I like Gunn and Road Dogg. I like Road Dogg's mic skills. Gunn was pretty much the workhorse there, but I did like his mic skills.
Absolutely. And I can agree with every one of those. I mean, obviously, my orders are a little different. You know, I probably moved some of those up in the top 10, but I can see why you would feel the way you do on all those. So, again, folks, and I'm not just saying this because you're here. I think I've told you this over the years, man. We've worked together here or there, and I think you've always been underrated. And I think that you deserve, you know, to be working a lot more places than you are. You're a tremendous wrestler, and I can't wait to work with you again, sir. And I appreciate you coming on the Hype today and talking wrestling with me.
I appreciate the kind words, man, anytime, and good luck to y'all on this thing, man. It's a pretty good gig you got going. Keep it up.
I appreciate it, brother. You take care. Ladies and gentlemen, JT Taylor, wonderful wrestler. You take care, sir.
See you, man.
Bye-bye. Folks, I'm going to start wrapping up here, folks. This is Hype is Wrestling. I can tell you right now, folks, which, by the way, folks, I didn't mention the Ann Serling interview I did on the Hype. It's here, the other show I do. That was a great interview. It went really well. If you did not hear it, folks, you can actually go back on, download, and listen to it. Went really well. Folks, we're going to start wrapping up here. 646-200-0999 if people want to call in the last minute. Let me see here. I'm just looking here. Getting one last message here from promoter Frank Cal from USWA. He says, I really believe it's the Make-A-Wish Foundation that's stopping heel turn on Cena. He's number one on that list. Yes, absolutely. I think Frank Cal makes a great point on that, and I've always felt that way. Absolutely. I think that is, you know what, and that's fine. I can respect that. I absolutely can respect that. I think that is a great point. You know what? And who could really argue with that, man? I'm big with that kind of stuff. In the end, that is really more important. They really need to. But you know what? You are putting a product out there. I would hope at one point that they can put something else out there where they can make business maneuvers rather than having to keep certain people in certain places. I don't know. I see things a little different in the wrestling business, I guess. I look at things where I would hope at some point they're able to change things where they can do things differently, where things are not, I don't know how to put it. They don't have to do things on the outside where they have to keep things on the inside a certain way where people are miserable who watch it. You know what I mean? Because watching Cena do what he does day in and day out the exact same way gets a little old, folks. It does. It's one of those things where I've watched Cena do the same thing over and over, and I don't want to get to the point where I hate the guy. I do not want to get to the point where I hate the guy just because he does the same character over and over. It's not his fault. The guy is a great wrestler. The guy is an absolutely great wrestler. Based upon what he's asked to do. He's not asked to go out there and do a 5-star Japanese wrestling match. He's asked to go out there and do a particular style match, so that's what he does. So, I mean, what can you say? You know, it is what it is. So, I don't know. I hate to see guys get punished based upon what they're asked to do out there in front of a crowd. So, I hope the WWE does come around, folks. And as far as tag team wrestling goes, I hope the WWE starts pushing tag team wrestling. If they don't, then so be it. But tag team wrestling is one of those things where, quite honestly, it deserves better. Tag team wrestling has been around a long time. There's been some great tag team wrestling matches where tag team wrestlers build a match, they sell a match, and quite honestly, tag team wrestling matches are really good if done correctly. However, unfortunately, you don't see a lot of great tag team wrestling matches anymore. Doing that to wrap up, folks, USWA Wrestling, again, folks, I cannot tell you enough how great that show is going to be this Saturday night, Jacksonville, Florida, the Snyder National Guard Army, USWA on Facebook. Just go to the Hype, it's your Facebook page. I'll have all the information up there for you, folks. Just visit that Facebook page. You'll find all the information up there. Just ProWrestlingExtra.com, ProWrestlingExtra on Facebook, folks. Make sure you visit all the information on there. Thank you, Major Pooh, on the Facebook page, on the chat room here for communicating everything. Sorry I wasn't able to go through all your messages here, but thank you very much for your feedback. Thank you for the great show information here. And we'll be back very soon, folks. Hopefully I'll be doing another show this weekend. It'll be a Hype Is Here show. We'll be doing an actual topic on Hype Is Here. So make sure you tune in. It won't be a wrestling show, but it will be an actual topic, and I may have a surprise for y'all. So, folks, I can tell you right now, we're doing very well as far as the numbers go. A lot of things are changing for this show, so trust me, things are coming together for the Hype Is Here and the Hype Is Wrestling. I can tell you we are coming towards an announcement hopefully soon, so make sure you tune in here very soon. Numbers are good. I am happy, and I'm out. So perhaps I'll do the show Sunday so I can do a wrap-up. I'll probably do a show before that, though. How about that? Thank you very much for listening, folks. I am done. Thank you.